Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
That's... Yeah, they have asked for that, really.
You can laugh. It was the World Cup.
I'm a little bit of an idealist, but having said that, I want to be like me.
You don't know what you're talking about.
What did you want?
I managed to stay alive for 6 days.
I'd say it to your face, I'll say it to you now.
I'm down to Anfield and we'll see them, won't we?
What you doing down here, you shawny man?
It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who, at the best, knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who, at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. This is my way of explaining to you, Ken, that I was part of the second captain's team that competed at yesterday's World Refugee Day Fair Play Cup, and that we were eliminated at the group stage with zero victories to our name. But we were at least in the arena. Welcome to the football pod, everyone.
Oh, and if you're quoting Teddy Roosevelt, I know it's Fair Play Cup time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I probably do that every time we're involved. An opening 3-0 defeat by the Homeless Street League team. Those guys are good. Right. Yeah, but it wasn't an auspicious start, Ken, I got to be honest. And let's not worry about which member of the second captain's team.
You're immediately under pressure, of course. What happened?
We don't have to worry about who was in goals for the 3-0 hammering. Let's just not get into details, you know. We win as a team. Did Teddy Roosevelt also say we win as a team, we lose as a team?
He said speak softly and carry a big stick. Is that in any way applicable?
Maybe I needed a bigger stick to organise my defence in front of me, Ken. That's all I'm saying. Followed by a come from behind 2-2 draw against the Vietnamese team. I'm not sure if you've seen the set piece routine here for our late equaliser, Ken. Say it was all Alan Cawley.
The truth is, I have seen it and I was blown away by the quality.
Yeah.
And I immediately felt myself transported back in time and space to the banks of the Volga. Place where I don't know if I'm ever going to go back there the way things are at the moment on to Nizhny Novgorod where I sat at a very pleasant outdoor bar with a guy who claimed to work for the Russian nationalist politician Vladimir Zhirinovsky. This guy claimed to be his sort of private secretary or I don't know whatever spad. And we were so drunk at that point that he was setting up a meeting between me and Vladimir Zhirinovsky for the following morning. And we continued to drink so much that, of course, this meeting never happened. So I never did get to meet Vladimir Zhirinovsky. And I can say with certainty that I never will get to meet Vladimir Zhirinovsky because he died earlier this year. But while we were having this conversation... a World Cup match was playing out on the TV in front of us. I believe it was Germany against Sweden. And it looked as though Sweden were going to knock Germany out of the World Cup in the first round, rather like the second captain team from the Fair Play Cup. It looked as though they were headed for a group stage exit. When suddenly Germany got a free kick out on the left side of the box. Standing over the ball was Marco Reus and Toni Kroos. And I guess in this footage, Owen, you were playing the part of Marco Reus, and it was Alan Cawley in the role of Toni Kroos, who blasted the ball across everybody and into the far top corner.
Yes, yes, Ken. Yes, I'm glad you noticed my role in this, just the little stepping over the ball. You got to keep the defenders guessing and then allow Alan Cawley to strike it into the top corner.
It was misdirection. You were ambling around over the ball. I felt that somehow the implied threat of your presence was somewhat negated by the fact that you were facing away from goal.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I literally
said to Alan, do you want me to touch this to you? And he goes, no. And I went, okay. And that conversation was happening as I was just kind of walked over the ball. Did you notice Mark Horgan's decoy run? David O'Doherty making a nuisance of himself in the 6-yard box, still claiming credit for the final touch, by the way. See, it was a thing of complex beauty, Ken.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Some people just think it was our by a mile, our best player and honorary second captain's member, Alan Cawley, like whacking the ball into the top corner. But there was so much more to it than that. I'm glad you've spotted
it. Yeah, that was lovely. It was lovely stuff. But what was the...
So I played outfield in that game. I should mention I may have made a defensive mistake that led to one of their goals, as Brian Kerr pointed out to me after the match. Brian is heavily involved with this day out, so it was nice for a former Republic of Ireland manager to spot my mistake and just show me where I could possibly improve. Nice. And then we were left needing a win in our final match to have a chance of going through, but a 1-1 draw against Rohingya consigned us to first round elimination, although Simon Hick did at least have the dream scenario of scoring a goal in front of his son Seve.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? That's a nice thing to be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely, isn't it? There's no footage of that moment.
I don't think we have any footage. No, bloody good footballer Seve, by the way. I was tempted to draft him in at one stage. I think he just needs a couple more years growth and he'll be very much
well. Seve
in this
plays up in Fairview Park, you know.
Yeah.
And I recently stumbled across one of his games, actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I went out for a jog, you know. A run, I should say, actually. Nobody says jog. It was more of a run than a jog. And as I was running around the pitch, I said, "That's Simon Hick standing by the side. That is I'm pretty sure that's Simon standing there watching these kids playing. Seve must be playing a game." So I ran over. I did the thing where I tapped Simon on one shoulder while standing on the other side, but somehow.
Did you get him? No,
I didn't.
What? That never fails.
I know. I somehow managed to do it and it failed. Like I tapped him on the left shoulder while standing on his right, and he just turned around and looked at me, and I was like, "Oh, hey, Simon." I'm not sure he even noticed me trying to do the bantering thing.
The hilarious
gag. This may be the first he knows that I tried to do that as he edits this, but. I said, "Oh, you know, Seve must be fine," and looked at the and all I could see was all these kids sort of standing around, and it turned out that actually the game had just been abandoned because the other team had a meltdown.
Oh, right,
because of a ghost goal.
Oh,
a ghost goal which they believe should have been awarded but was not awarded. This was basically, and thankfully people do film a lot of these games, so I was able to see video of this incident later on, and to be honest, it definitely wasn't conclusive. I can't say if it was over the line or not, but it was a sort of a looping header that sort of hit the post, bounced down, and a player in the line kicked it away, and I don't think you could say it was definitely over, but certainly the coaching staff of the other team felt that it could, whereupon they declared that they would not complete the game and led their players, their bemused 9-year-old players, their players away. And I thought, this is insane. But it turned out that actually the whole atmosphere of the game was a tinderbox because of previous violent incidents which had already erupted on the sideline. While again, all of the kids stood and quietly watched, standing and just quietly thinking, "I wonder when they're going to stop fighting and we can keep playing our game." So I haven't actually got to see any of this. It did seem as though there was a lot of off field drama. The intorno that swirls around football, it seems to be always at fever pitch. So maybe one day I will get to see. But yeah, it's great to see the grassroots.
Well, unfortunately, Seve's a couple of years away from, you know, getting involved in the Fair Play Cup. We know the short term answer is to get the main man, Richie Sadler, back fit and healthy for this time next year. So if you see Richie, just give him, just egg it on, just, you know, let's encourage him. He can do it. We can get our number 9 back fit and do some damage next year. But it's great to be involved in the tournament, as we have been for a good few years now. It's just an unbelievable day out and brilliant stuff organizing by UNHCR and Sari Sport Against Racism Ireland.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's a beautiful summer's day. The breeze is stupendous.
Stupendous. Stupendous.
Would this podcast be even more stupendous without ads?
Without ads?
Ads. If so, then join us for daily commercial-free shows at secondcaptains.com for just €5 a month.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not bumping them up. I'm not Irish. I'm just saying my observations, they are amazing. Stupendous.
All right, Ken, we're at, what, June 27th here. This is peak transfer rumours slash confirmed transfer stories time for the football pod on a Monday. So what have you got for me today?
Well, a very typical football story that I saw today is Gini Wijnaldum with a tweet saying, on holidays with my bro, can you guess where we are? And there is a picture of him standing in a boat with, I guess, his bro. And behind him is very obviously Dubai. literally couldn't be anywhere else. So Gini Wijnaldum, like many of the football world, heading out for the first of what they hope will be a couple of visits to the Middle Eastern region. This year, as they celebrate their freedom from the game, which they play for most of the time. Now, what is actually happening transfer wise? Gabriel Jesus is probably the big transfer today. Anyway,
yeah,
he has joined Arsenal. So this is a reversal of the Arsenal to Man City pipeline, which was established in the first years of the Abu Dhabi takeover at City. Not that many players have gone the other way, but Gabriel Jesus obviously has. It's sort of interesting, like why they would sell a guy who's he's still only 25 years old. He's played for them several seasons. He's scored nearly 100 goals for the club, and they obviously decide that he's reached his ceiling and he's not going to be.
Isn't it more really about the players that they've brought in as well? You know, I mean, they've brought in Haaland for a start.
Yeah, they've brought in Haaland, but then you get this whole question of, well, what position is Gabriel Jesus anyway? Yeah. And I saw Tim Vickery had some trouble with Arsenal fans last week when he suggested, I'm not sure what he was actually on. Was he on Sky? Was he on? He was on. There was a video of him talking about this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this, and basically what he said in the video was that Gabriel Jesus needed to establish what kind of a player he really was. Is he a centre forward, or is he kind of more of a winger or a support forward? You know, one of these kind of, oh, why don't I get as much pleasure from assisting as from scoring. One of those type of guys, right? And he had pointed out that in the 2018 World Cup, Gabriel Jesus was the guy who got the nod as Brazil's centre forward. The option, I suppose, at that time was Firmino. You know, I mean, we're not really talking about a centre forward here. I mean, Neymar is the main attacking player, and Coutinho is also an important player in that 2018 team. But so the centre forward wasn't necessarily going to be like we look to you for all our goals. Yeah. You lead us, our number nine. It's not like that. It's more of a kind of a false nine. Jesus got the job, and it didn't go well. He didn't score any goals, and obviously Brazil got knocked out in the quarterfinal. And Vickery's contention was that this had left him. This was a massive blow to his confidence. Really, you know, that can I really cut it at the top level as a centre forward? And link this to his kind of, you know, often turning up in the right wing for City, which I had always, I must say, assumed was just Guardiola saying, look, you know, I'm the coach, I decide where you play. You're a forward. Everyone in my team is a midfielder anyway, really, so it makes no difference. You can play on the right, you know, whatever. But for this, Tim Vickery was buried under an avalanche of Arsenal rage. Yeah. The Arsenal rage flowed like lava down the mountain and consumed Tim Vickery. Much, I think, to his bemusement.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a bit bemused by that as well. It seems like a fairly innocuous, tactical point to raise and a fair, I would have thought, a fair one.
Yeah. But I guess people just don't like, I mean,
you want to be really happy, you want to celebrate your new signing, you want to hear how amazing, tell us how amazing our new player is all you want to hear as a football fan when you've signed a new player, I guess.
They maybe thought Tim Vickery, I don't believe that Tim Vickery was trying to do this, although he is a Tottenham fan, but that he was trying to rain on their parade in some sense. And they weren't having it. So, anyway, you know, I think the point that he made still stands. And I guess what Jesus is doing with this move to Arsenal is he is becoming, I mean, he is going to be the centre forward there. I can't see any other way he fits into that team. You know, with the other players, Arsenal have so far signed Fabio Vieira, who's kind of more of a number 10. Definitely more of a, he's certainly not a striker, let's say. So it looks as though they are bringing Jesus in order that he can help to knit together this very impressive sort of second line of attackers that Arsenal have put together. And I mean here, obviously, the likes of Martinelli, Odegaard, Smith Rowe, Saka, you know, I mean, Nketiah is also still there, obviously, as a, you know, more of a conventional center forward. But you'd imagine Jesus, with his price tag and also with his experience, that's the role that they've earmarked for him. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if he can... he's obviously a player that Mikel Arteta has worked with before at City, so reckons that he's capable of being the centre forward that really neither... I mean, Lacazette was okay, but, like, when he was in sort of... I'm the centre forward whose job is to help all these other players come together. When he was in that mode, he never scored. Hmm. So it is a
good signing, I think, though, you know, for all the reservations it's not even a reservation the way you describe it there with Tim Vickery talking about. It's just a tactical point.
It's, you know,
you're not getting an out and out number 9. It's a different sort of a player. Certainly that's the way he has been playing. And in fairness, Tim did say that maybe the confidence is down now as well, so that wouldn't appeal much to Arsenal fans. But you're getting a player who's been a pretty good player for Man City for the last number of years, played 159 times in the Premier League. I'm just looking at it. And, you know, like 90 goals or assists in that time, as well as all the false nine stuff that Pep constantly praised about him, you know, the traditional qualities that you associate with a striker type qualities. He's bringing all that. So I would be quite excited to think of it as an Arsenal fan. It's not like you're bringing the best player in the world. But, I mean, for where Arsenal are at and where they're trying to get to, it seems like pretty good buy.
Yeah, and you know, it's also it's interesting for City as well to sell a player for a lot of money. It's not like it's unheard of, but you know, he was going into the last year of his contract, and the transfer fee that they've brought in for him almost covers the transfer fee that they've had to pay for Erling Haaland. Now I know that Erling Haaland, with that deal, the cost of the deal is more in the sort of wages and commission side than the transfers. I mean, the transfer fee they got Haaland for is incredible. You know, I mean, it's a special, very special price. But you know, they do have some significant income here from sales. I mean, obviously, Bazunu has joined Southampton, and that's another 12 million for Man City. So they're also bringing in then Calvin Phillips. I mean, this is something we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. That they were looking at bringing him in. I mean, again, you know, I'm looking at Phillips and thinking, I don't know if he's necessarily a first team player for City, but it is a long season, and you know, you've got five subs in every game from now on, so I guess there's not going to be a shortage of dispensable minutes, let's say. And you know, I mean, I don't mean to say Phillips isn't that good either. I mean, he's good, but I always feel as though he's his best attributes are off the ball attributes, you know, which every team needs, I suppose. It's just that City spend less time off the ball than any other team. So, but you know, I mean, I guess from City's point of view, you've got a player who's who they can get for a price which to them is pretty affordable, who is an established England international. I mean, they've got a few of them, and you know, it's a deal which again, he could end up sitting there like Fabian Delph, or maybe he'll do a bit better than that. We'll have to wait.
Who else is moving where? Give me one more, Ken.
Well, what else is happening?
Give me a couple more if you want.
Well, the Frankie de Jong thing is sort of continuing to inch toward what looks like the likely conclusion of him joining Man United, who are also supposedly now interested in Taliafico, the fullback from, what's this, Ajax, who may be available. I see that Chelsea are trying to get rid of Hakim Ziyech to AC Milan. I'm kind of wondering if Man United have noticed this yet. I mean, there's another former Erik ten Hag player who appears to be on the market. The big news of Chelsea, though, today is Petr Cech has left Chelsea. So that means Now the entire sort of team of officials who were, you know, the club hierarchy, let's say, who were in charge of bringing in or of shaping the squad of recruitment ever since Thomas Tuchel has been there, they've all now left. Bruce Buck, Marina Granovskaya, and Petr Cech, who supposedly Todd Bowley wanted to stay at least for one more window, because you can imagine he's sort of come in. I mean, it's not like he's dealt with this situation before, and now he's kind of all of the people who had experience in this area.
A transition team, is that what they got? New owners would like people involved in previous regime to be there to tell them how to do the job for the first while, everything works.
Yeah. But as far as Cech's concerned, it's not the club he fell in love with. And one of the, I think it was Matt Law in the Telegraph reporting that that Cech wanted Chelsea to keep Lukaku. You know, his view on Lukaku, a signing which he evidently was integral to, was that, look, this hasn't worked. But that doesn't mean it can't work. You know, he wouldn't be the first player ever to join a team and then, you know, have a bad first season and then come good. And that's what he felt they should have done. Whereas, in fact, what Chelsea have done is quite decisively said, no, you know, let's just, you know, this isn't going to work. We'll take the hit. And he's gone. I'm not sure about the logic there from Cech. I mean, that sounds a bit like an executive who doesn't want to admit that he's made a bad decision. I mean, I think the idea of a resurrection, maybe it's too dramatic, Lukaku regaining his form, let's say, rather than literally regaining his form. I think one of the ingredients that Lukaku maybe would hope for to help to catalyze that would be a change of manager. And that's obviously not something Chelsea are considering. I mean, it's not as though it's unimaginable that Thomas Tuchel might not be at Chelsea for too much longer. But at the moment, he's sort of the entire football side of the club right there, right? He's the man, you know, with experience in football who is in a senior position at the club. So I don't know if the Lukaku Tuchel thing was ever really going to work after the way that it had gone. So just as well to get rid of him, I think. Gareth Bale has gone to LA, not LA Galaxy, but LAFC. And this is where he reckons is a good place to, I don't want to say rest up, but get himself in tip-top shape ahead of the World Cup in Qatar. It is a lovely climate. There's a great wellness industry there. You know, there's a lot of great golf courses.
Well, there's also a football team that will pick him in the team as well, which actually probably will help quite a bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure he could have got a game.
Compared to Real Madrid, that's what I'm saying, though, just actually getting out of Madrid and I don't know how negativity in his career in the last couple of years didn't rub off on his performances with Wales. You know, he just came in as this completely different animal compared to, he's just able to ignore, well, he wasn't able to ignore it. He was able to, because when he scored key goals for Wales in that period, he was shoving it down the throat of Real Madrid as some celebration, goal celebrations that are popping into my head are reminding me. But anyway, he should be in a happy place and actually playing a bit of football is my point, at a level that you would imagine. Who knows? I mean, there have been some big name players who haven't really done much over in America. There have been some like our own Robbie Keane, who made a big impact. So we'll see what Gareth Bale is.
From the hated LA Galaxy rivals. Mm-hmm. Giorgio Chiellini is already there in terms of a high profile teammate. He's already at LAFC, so Yeah, hopefully Gareth Bale doesn't get injured. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Hold on a second, before we wrap the show here. I mean, we're at the June 27th football podcast seems peak Neymar talk territory. So what's going on in Neymar's world?
Well, we're at another key point in the career of Neymar with PSG. I mean, he's been there for nearly 5 years now. It's 5 years since he left Barcelona. And apparently they've set up some situation. I mean, the financial engineers at PSG have created the intriguing situation whereby if Neymar simply stays there for another week, a new contract renewal is triggered, taking him all the way up to 2027 at like whatever his wage is of like 40 million euros a year, right? maybe this has something to do with the spate of stories appearing in the French media that PSG are ready to say au revoir to Neymar, who has been a tremendous player for them, but perhaps not as tremendous as they were hoping he would be when they paid the 222 million to Barcelona. I mean, the main problem for Neymar is that he has missed so many matches. I mean, I think he's missed about half the matches, maybe it's slightly more than half the matches since he joined PSG. And in the last season, at least, there have been signs that the injuries are starting to catch up with him. You know, we see a little bit of a thickening out, a little bit of a slowing down. And this is aside from the kind of, I mean, I don't want to say despair, because it's too much, but definitely ennui, a sense that of kind of jadedness that Neymar sort of projects about his career, you know, where it's ended up. His day-to-day life is like incredibly wealthy, but somehow weirdly pointless footballer.
Your thoughts on the Neymar documentary have been well documented. Quite similar to your thoughts on the Pogmentary from last week, actually.
Well, Pogba at least doesn't seem as miserable as Neymar.
Right.
You know, like Pogba sort of seems, unless he's sort of, you know, thinking about his contract and getting resentful. I mean, he seems... you know, happy enough to just sort of trundle along. You know, he's not like racked by thoughts of what might have been. I mean, at least that certainly wasn't coming across in the old Pogmentary. You know, he seems to be happy to sort of hang out with his kids and, you know, whatever. It's just pretty boring family type stuff. whereas Neymar, yeah, I mean, I don't know. But as to, I mean, the thing is that there's clearly nowhere that he can go on the wages that they're paying him. So they've reached a point where, you know, they're paying Mbappe like this insane amount. He's clearly the star. Remember that Neymar was meant to be the star. I mean, this was the whole reason for leaving Barcelona, was to kind of to come into his own, to have a team that was built around him and to achieve his full potential and all that. And none of that has happened. And clearly now that never will happen. You know, it's obvious that it won't happen. Like, he no longer is physically capable of being the player that he once was, or that, you know, 5 years ago he dreamed he could become. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. And so you've got this guy who has got a certain amount of regret and, you know, obviously isn't too happy about his situation, hasn't been for years. But he's still there and he's incredibly highly paid and he's still kind of dictating a lot of what happens around the team. So obviously this is, you'd rather not have him there. The only question is when someone is on so much money, how are you actually going to, are you going to have to pay them a lot of money to go away?
Yeah.
I mean, is that really what's going to happen here? Or are they going to try and sort of drag this one out for another season? I think that's probably what's going to happen. But these stories that are coming out about him do seem, I would say, I mean, PSG have recently had a big, I mean, I think their coach is still officially Mauricio Pochettino, but he's gone. And the new coach is going to be Christophe Galtier, who is the guy who led Lille to their recent league championship. They won the championship last season, you know, beating PSG to the championship. So he was at Nice for a year. But they've brought in both Luis Campos as director of football. He was working, first of all, with Monaco. We remember when Monaco put together that good team that got to the Champions League semi-final in 2017 and sold Mbappe to to Paris. Then he went to Lille and bought a lot of good players there. He's the maestro behind the Nicolas Pepe to Arsenal for, what was it, 400 billion euros? Whatever the deal was. It was an incredible deal from the Lille point of view. So now he's at PSG, and I guess he's part of the new room, and one of the things he wants to sweep out is Neymar, but he's gonna need a bigger room, is all I'm saying.
Thanks for listening today. The Second Captain's podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Don't forget, all episodes of the pod are ad-free if you become a member at secondcaptains.com for a fiver a month. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks, everyone. We'll talk soon.
That's the second time he's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.